Hello and welcome to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
Before we dive into who our guests are today, Joe's going to remind us of our show's purpose.
Oh, thanks, Kelly. Our show's purpose is uniting people who love to serve through awesome stories of service. We have great guests that come on and share their experience. They represent different organizations or part of Rotary. And obviously, we do love our Rotary.
We sure do. We're excited to have our guests on today, Ed Merrick and Jeff Thyman with Braver Angels.
Whoop, whoop.
We're very excited for you to listen to this episode.
Yeah, they do a great job of talking about how we can come together a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So stay tuned. And as a reminder, I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson. We'll be back.
Are you ready to make a difference in your community? Rotary is a great place to get involved in your community and meet passionate groups of people, as well as individuals dedicated to service and fellowship. At Rotary, we believe in the power of teamwork to bring positive change. As a member, you will have the opportunity to participate in exciting projects that address local and global challenges. From supporting educational initiatives to environmental conservation, we tackle it all. Joining a Rotary Club means becoming part of a diverse family of individuals who share a passion for giving back and having fun while making positive impact. With projects and events that enrich your community, there's something for everyone, from local initiatives to international collaborations. It doesn't matter what culture or country you come from. What matters is that you want to belong to a group that strengthens communities and creates lasting change. There's a place for everyone at Rotary, regardless of age or background. Learn more by searching for a Rotary Club in your community and visiting. Together, let's make a difference. Rotary, people of action.
Up your game and show off your Rotary Club spirit. Did you know there's a one-stop shop for all things Rotary apparel? Russell Hampton Company is the world's largest provider of licensed Rotary branded merchandise. From apparel like hats, jackets, and shirts to banners, tents, and awards, they have it all. And most things are customizable. And they can handle orders of all sizes. Russell Hampton Company also has deep connections to Rotary. In 1920, the company founder was part of Rotary Club No. 1 in downtown Chicago. Russell Hampton Company models their business on the Rotary 4-Way Test and gives back 10% of all purchases to Rotary, supporting its global work. So the next time you and your club are out on a service project, arrive with the right swag from Russell Hampton Company to promote your club and Rotary. Even non-Rotarians will want some of your cool hats, shirts, and jackets. Learn more at bestclubsupplies.com. That's bestclubsupplies.com.
Rotary is a place for all community-minded people who want to serve their areas with the support of an international organization. Join Rotary to find service. Join Rotary to find inclusion. Join Rotary to find leadership. Join Rotary to find fun. Join Rotary to find friendship. Join Rotary to find a better version of the world. Find a Rotary Club near you at rotary.org and click on Club Finder. There is a club out there for everyone. Find your fit with Rotary. Rotary.org.
Join Edina Rides for Education on Saturday, May 4th at Fred Richards Park for a leisurely 5 or 10 mile bike ride. Edina Rides is organized by the Rotary Club of Edina Morningside. Gear up for a day of community spirit. And here's the best part. Your Ride with Edina Rides supports local educational nonprofits like the Edina ABC program. Their goal is to increase the number of well-educated minority students and make it possible for deserving students to reach their full potential. Current student, Joyelle, a high school junior, says she's proud to be part of the Edina ABC program. She says it's been a joyous experience providing her with amazing opportunities from diverse classes to exciting events and meeting wonderful people. Your participation helps sustain organizations like Edina ABC. Registration is easy at edinarides.com. Take advantage of early bird pricing, just $25 for adults and $15 for kids. So gear up and pedal for a purpose on Saturday, May 4th with Edina Rides for Education. More at edinarides.com. Hello and welcome back to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
Before we dive into who our guests are today, guests that are in studio also, Chad is going to remind us about our show's sponsor.
We want to thank Russell Hampton for sponsoring the show. If you're watching online, you can check out some of the swag they gave us, from the tumblers to the cutting board, the globe. they can print anything. They're number one rotary printer in the country. They can also help your business. So check them out, russellhampton.com. And thank you for sponsoring.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. So our guests are in studio today. We have a returning guest, Ed Merrick. He is District Foundation Stewardship Team Lead, District 5960 Governor for years 2020 and 2021, and he is also a member of the Rotary Club of Northfield. Welcome back, Ed.
Thank you, Kelly.
Happy to have you. And we have another guest, Jeff Tiemann. He is with Braver Angels. He is the Minnesota campaign co-chair and Minnesota state steering team. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you.
We're happy to have you here. So for our listeners, our previous episode was with Ed and Bruce, who are a part of Braver Angels. Bruce was not able to make it today, so Jeff is graciously stepping in, and we're happy to have you. So,
how does it feel to be on the B team? Wow, that introduction.
Hey, I'm off the bench today. It feels great.
No, I didn't mean it that way at all. We're happy to have you. It's nice to have a fresh face in here. So, but for our listeners, first and foremost, Ed, could you just give the listeners an update on what Braver Angels is for those who may not know or may have not listened to the previous episode?
Sure. Braver Angels is a national grassroots organization working to depolarize the country and leading us to more civility in politics and across other divides that we face in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a pretty target-rich environment right now.
I know. I was going to say, I'm sure, you know, from the first time that we had you on versus now, I'm sure you've seen some increase in the need and desire for Braver Angels, right? Jeff's shaking
Absolutely.
His head.
Actually, and researchers will tell you that the level of polarization in our country is the highest now that it has been since the 1850s. You remember what happened right after the 1850s?
I was not around
at the time.
I need a reminder.
We went to war.
Okay.
We went to war. And I'm happy to talk about the kind of polarization that is different now than then, because it's even more severe in terms of the toxic impact it has on our society.
Yeah. Can you speak a little bit more to, like, what it had looked like back in 1850 before we went to war versus now, and the differences and why it is, you know, so
Absolutely.
Much more toxic?
So when you think about polarization, polarization comes in many different forms. There is ideological polarization, and in the 1850s, the two big ideologies that were in competition were over slaves, slave ownership, and states' rights versus federal rights or federal power. So that was ideological polarization. You also had geographic polarization, right, the North and the South.
Yeah.
Those were the two things that were at play. What's different today is we are experiencing what is called affective polarization. And the reason this is so toxic is affective polarization impacts how we feel about each other, how we make moral judgments on each other. And there are three hallmarks of affective polarization. One is othering. We treat the other as the enemy.
Yeah,
and that, you know, it's the opposite of being united, right? The second is disdain or contempt, and what that looks like is, you know, if you're a Vikings fan or a Green Bay Packers fan, you root for your team.
Yeah,
but this contempt type of polarization or impact is not so much rooting for your team, but is rooting for the other team to lose, the other team to be harmed, or the other person to be harmed. And then the third thing is the moral judgment.
Okay.
And that shows up where I would believe that the only way you could think that way is you're a terrible person. And so then I start to think of you as evil, And the only thing to do with evil is to get rid of it, exercise it. And so you can see how that is very, very toxic.
Yeah.
Obviously, the 1850s was a bad situation, but we have dangers today that are very impactful.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
No. Feeling good right now, guys.
Well, and it's a tough topic, right? I mean, it's kind of like sitting at the dinner table or sitting at a dinner table with, you know, another couple and bringing up the topic of religion. It's like it's a no-no. The topic of religion, the topic of politics, and trying to go down that route can be very challenging because of where we're at this day and age and all of those components that you just listed off, Jeff. And I'm like, I'm sitting here going, yep, I've encountered that, not personally, but just heard, you know, whether it's the disdain or it's, what were the other two? Now I'm totally drawing a blank.
So the disdain. Other, you know, treat other. Them as other, we're not together anymore.
Yep.
And then the moral judgment.
Yeah, you just.
They'll say dehumanization too, like you try to break down who they are.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's that action obviously is starting to create the reaction to organizations like Braver Angels, right? Where we're waking up to, okay, this doesn't work. This is pretty toxic for everybody. And, you know, how is this organization beginning to, you know, help stem that gap that's between groups of people?
That's kind of the good news. Is 70 to 80% of participants that go through the workshops, the training that Braver Angels provides, say that it really impacts their view of the other. It reduces that effect of polarization. And there's one in particular that really does even a better job than that. I mean, the reaction to it is the one-on-one conversations where we set you up. And you've got a sheet to go through, and you ask each other questions, and you have a conversation, and what's happening? You're getting to know each other. You're getting to build a relationship and trust.
I think there are some commonalities with, you know, how Rotary works. If you think about Rotary, people come together because they have a shared mission and agree on ways that they're going to treat each other. That's also how Braver Angels starts. Well, we call it a container. When you create the right container for a conversation, then and then the processes, Ed said, you're more likely to end up with good results. And by good results, we actually have academic measurement of this. By good results, we mean that the people feel better about understanding the other side. Mm-hmm. And often they also feel better about being able to communicate their own point of view. What Braver Angels is not about is trying to change anyone's mind about their position, but rather to grow in appreciation or at least understanding of the other side. And through that understanding, potentially, where it exists, come to common ground, common understanding of then how we might move forward in terms of public policy. I was really struck by what you said earlier about the two couples sitting down for dinner.
Yeah.
And it made me, you know, think that the polarization that we have today has affected pretty much every part of our society, including families where members of the family are no longer sitting at the table together because of the impact of this polarization. And when people think – it is a shame. And when people consider this huge impact – that's really the call to action that brought Braver Angels into being to have the kind of impact that Ed was talking about.
Now, remind me, when did Braver Angels come to fruition?
It began December of 2016, after the 2016 election.
What happened then?
2016 election. Two Davids, one in David Blankenhorn in Manhattan and David Lapp in Lebanon, Ohio, knew each other and were talking about this and wondering if Trump supporters and Hillary supporters could come together and have a civil conversation. Hmm. And it turns out, with a little help from Minnesota in the form of Bill Doherty, they could. Okay. Probably the bumper sticker, you know, the shining star out of it. They had a conservative Christian evangelical linked up with a liberal Muslim. Today, they go to mosque together, they go to church together, they're at each other's house for parties, you know, and holidays and things, and they're pals. They've been at they still go to the national conventions, and Bruce has met both of them.
So this is the positive impact, right?
Of intervention, intervention. I mean, yeah, it's the call that this is a huge problem, and if we don't do anything, the consequences are dire.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dare I say it, but we do not want to see ourselves in another civil war. So that would be the worst possible scenario to have happen.
Along with training, do you see common ground that people really come together to, although they may disagree on, you know, some fundamentals or, you know, ideology or, you know, I'm interested to hear kind of what you guys have learned.
Yes, we do. So we do a lot of different things around skills training and helping people understand each other. But we actually do have one of our workshops. We do a lot through workshops. Is called the Common Ground Workshop. And the way that that workshop is structured is we actually bring people with two different perspectives on a problem. It could be a red-blue perspective, but it could be you know, a different kind of divide. And we then walk them through, again, create that container, walk them through a structured process to look at what are the values that are important to you that you think the other folks could agree with, and what are the policies that you think are important that could help address this problem. So your problem might be, for example, a big one that we just did is trustworthy elections.
Yeah.
Braver Angels just did a major set of common ground workshops all across the country on trustworthy elections. And people that have, you know, more on the red, more on the right, and also independents, and brought them together and said, what would it take to create trustworthy elections where they are good, free, fair, and you trust the results. And what amazes me, I've done a number of these, I've facilitated a number of these. You would think when you bring in intentionally people on the opposite sides of an issue, what are they all going to agree? It has to be unanimous. Mm-hmm. What are they going to agree? It's going to be about zero. That's what I thought going into this. In my experience, is often in the 30s that they come up with about 35 different things that they both sides agree on. They say, this would work. This would help us move forward. And in fact, one of the really exciting situations, there was a group in El Sobrante, California, that came together around the issue of homelessness. And there were very divergent views about what should be done with the homeless population there. But through this process, it planted seeds, and they have made huge strides in addressing this problem. And one of the reasons that it was so important was that a significant number of the fires in that dry part of California were being started where homeless folks were living, and they were lighting fires to keep warm at night. And that rallying around this common ground addressed the safety issue, but also had a very positive impact on many people's lives. So this really does work.
Well, what's interesting is we kind of live in a society where it doesn't sell anything to agree with each other. You know what I mean? So we want clicks. We want people just want to be in their echo chambers. Although I would actually argue that people don't want to be in their echo chambers. They just don't want to be wrong. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense? Like, just people don't want to be wrong.
Right.
And that fear creates a lot of isolation and insulation from new ideas and new ways of thinking. And I mean, even just I love the example you just gave of these are real problems that need real solutions, and they take both sides of the argument in order to solve them. So I always look at this and I go, why are we being so divided then? Are there problems that are solvable that we're not solving because of our societal structure, right? Like, or something else. Right? You know, we can go down that rabbit hole too. But but I'm just saying that
blame like, it on social media.
But it sounds it sounds so simple to go. We've got to just hear both sides, take what we can agree with, and implement action. So it's, you know, let's hear both sides, let's find some common ground, and let's implement. That seems to be the iteration that needs to happen over and over and over and over again. And instead, what we're seeing a lot in our society is the iteration of stopping. We can't do that because I don't agree with that. We're not going to do anything because of that. And so how do we empower people, not only through like, you know, Braver Angels, but just in their daily lives to continue that conversation in that cycle, because it seems like we just keep breaking down the cycle of communication over and over and over again. You do that enough and everyone's in their own little silo.
Well, I'm sure a lot of it has to do with ego as well. Like ego stands in the way for individuals from even trying to hear somebody else's perspective. And if you can remove the ego, then, or at least set it down for a hot minute, then just might be able to come to a little bit of common ground.
That reminds me of a quote I used to have up in my office when I was running a staff with the Red Cross, actually here in Eden Prairie. There's no limit to what can be accomplished when it doesn't matter who gets the credit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know who said that? I don't know either.
Well, and then another thing that I just thought of too, and this goes to the point of like when we had you guys on for the first round, somebody like myself who has just like I took a step back. I was like, I know a little bit about the right. I know a little bit about the left. I agree on both sides. But you know what? I don't care. I don't care. So my point with that is that I'm sure that there's a little bit of negligence to learn about like policies, for instance, or about, you know, like the bigger issues that are at hand.
And I think that's part of the key is people need to get
ignorance is what I was looking for. That's the word I was like, ignorance.
They need to get reengaged. They need to care. They need to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at what's happening politically at the national level, you know, it's easy to throw up your hands and just go, this is just nuts. But we need to take it back. Each of us individually, we all need to get involved and you know, take a stand and mm-hmm. agree to disagree and agree to respect other, you know, other points of view. I learned long ago, neither side has all the answers. We need to work this out together.
And what you said really highlights cynicism. So this polarization can result in a kind of cynicism that then causes people to withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
And if more people withdraw, then that is basically going to take down our democracy because all of those people withdrawing, they then leave space for autocratic rule.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what we want to have happen. And this, if you think about polarization, we have many forces at work that are causing polarization. By the way, this high point that we're experiencing right now has been growing significantly for the last 35 years. It's not one person. It's not one party.
Okay.
It has been a steady growth for the last 35 years that has gotten us to the peak today. So recognizing that this is a big problem that has been growing, it's also going to take a big solution.
Yeah.
And that's really what is behind Reduce the Rancor Minnesota. The campaign that we just kicked off a week ago.
Okay.
Reduce the Rancor Minnesota is a campaign with our two lead key co-sponsors are the chair of the Republican Party and the chair of the DFL Party here in Minnesota. And they've gotten together as the lead co-sponsors and said, we commit to working on this. And now we have over 20 co-sponsors, universities, civic organization, a Rotary Club.
A Rotary District.
Yeah. A Rotary District. And the whole district. And what we are about is building capacity. And so in order to have an impact across this whole state, what we need to counteract the polarizing forces is we need depolarizers.
Mm-hmm.
And we need that in abundance. And that's why I think the partnership with the Rotary District is so powerful because I see so many alignments or points of alignment in terms of the values, the emphasis, the desire for engagement, the desire for civic discourse and involvement and commitment to improve communities. Mm-hmm. All of that is consistent. And going back to, you know, so how do we do it? What we need is that commitment from a motivation and an ideal perspective, and then we need tools. Mm-hmm. And that's where Braver Angels can come in, because these tools have been developed since 2016 and revised and revised and studied and improved and demonstrated that they really do work. And so what we have now is we've got a set of tools, workshops, one-on-one conversations, skills training that can then, you know, kind of put the feet on the ground and give people the techniques to jump into these situations. And the reason why we call ourselves Braver Angels is it does require some bravery to be able to do that, because we recognize we're stepping into toxic environments and we're looking for people that are willing to do that, help equip them, and then see them have an impact on their family, on their neighborhood, on their school board, on their community, their chamber of commerce, and so on and so forth.
One of the things Rotary is truly about, if you look at our seven focus areas within the foundation, six of them feed into the last one, which is peace and, you know, conflict resolution. Our district, partly because we've been involved with Braver Angels for a while, has now launched a three-year initiative to make peace visible. Because when you think about it, Rotary Clubs, everything you do, every project you do is helping to create peace, is helping to create a better life for people. And Braver Angels, realizing they can't do the lift alone, is trying to create a movement today. And so they're calling it Braver Network. And they're asking organizations that are in alignment with the idea of the depolarization to join in. And it's a civic renewal movement. And our District 5960 has become part of the Braver Network. And hence, we're making peace visible that way.
I love it. I was going to ask, Ed, remind us and the listeners, have you been with the organization since it began?
Braver Angels?
Yep.
2018 is when I got involved.
2018.
So.
And how about you, Jeff?
2019.
Okay. So for both of you guys, for the amount of time that you have been a part of Braver Angels, we obviously encounter radical individuals, you know, both on the right and the left. And have you encountered that through Braver Angels and seen this, like, the possibility to kind of like de-escalate their like very, very, you know, radical belief on this side or radical belief on this side? Or are there just some individuals that you've come across where it just doesn't feel like there's hope? I'm curious.
I think it's, you know, when we talk about it, when Bruce and I have gone and presented our Becoming Braver Angels to Rotary Clubs, one thing we do mention is that you may or may not find common ground. So you're not going to be able to reach everybody. But okay. Most folks, I think you can. There's a real hunger for this as we talk to people. People are, and there's other organizations jumping in with this. Spencer Cox, who is the governor of Utah, has launched his program of disagreeing better. And he's working with the National Governments Association.
Like the disagreeing better, because tension is required too, right? Like, you can't just agree on everything, because then it's exactly the same thing in the other direction, where you now created the vacuum in the other direction and in that everybody just agrees on everything, so you're not looking at the whole puzzle anymore. And so how does Braver Angels empower people to create that tension, but in a more civil way?
Yeah, so it starts with the container that I talked about, and then some specific skills. And I'll go back to your question about, you know, what about the people that are just so hardcore on one side or another, they seem unreachable. It starts with setting that respectful opening and then listening. Mm. And I don't know anyone that doesn't want to be heard and doesn't want to be understood. And so in my experience, what I have felt myself and also seen in others is that when they truly listen and reflect back that I heard what you say and I understand and maybe agree with a piece, but maybe don't agree, but I understand, that goes a long way to opening the other person up. So first of all, it's taking the time to listen and understand and try to understand the values, you know, or the stories. What's the background that led this person to believe this way and act this way? And then, and only then is to state your point of view. And what we do is we train people, we give them the skills to communicate their perspective more clearly, better, so that they can be heard. Again, I say, who doesn't want to be heard? Who doesn't want to be listened to? And who doesn't want to be able to communicate in a way that you are heard? And so I think there's a great appeal to learn these skills. And then when that happens, when you've got people that are taking the time to listen and then communicating their perspectives in clear ways that are heard, then there's a possibility of coming to agreement on a solution. Not all of your ideas, not all of my ideas, but when it comes to this public policy issue that is currently tearing us apart, we can move forward. We say that polarization, toxic polarization, is the big problem that's keeping us from solving many other problems. Mm-hmm. So we need to address that in order to address these other things that are important in our society.
You know, it really sounds like connecting with humans too. You know, when you really connect with somebody, whether it's politics or racism, some of the biggest issues we've broken down when you connect on a human level.
Absolutely.
It seems to be an underlying core of what you guys are doing.
You said it so well. When you understand and connect on a human level, you can no longer treat people the way we are treating some of our fellow human beings.
The picture that gets put in my mind is, you know, the two sides have two pieces of a treasure map, and they've got to put them together to find the treasure. And instead, we're all sitting here looking at our piece of map going, no, 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 this is the piece of map. Your piece of map doesn't make any sense and doesn't work. And it's just...
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. It's this treasure hunt that we're all after, because I think we're all after the same thing, right? Or at least similar things. And it's just typically the method and how we do it. And that always seems to me that there has to be discussion around that, because how can you possibly, if you have exactly the opposite perspective of me, there has to be something I'm missing. Like I don't know about anybody else. When somebody has a different, like if I'm so dead set on something, I'm like, I don't understand. I'm like, oh crap, I'm missing something. But it's that ego piece, right? Like it's going, well, do I have enough wherewithal to set that aside and say, okay, I want to hear this. Like, Kelly, you can attest to this. I'll have entire conversations with her in the opposite of what I actually believe. So I'm like the devil's advocate, you know. And she thinks I'm thinking like I actually think that. And you can feel, but it's just a perfect example of how that tension rises immediately when the opposite perspective is put in front of you. And I'm just curious too, like, you talked a little bit about the methodology within that container. Can you walk us through like exactly how you guys set up, you know, a conversation and say, you know, this is our topic, introduce yourself, like walk through that. I guess I think that that's helpful even from a listener standpoint to just be able to put that in their head.
I agree.
Sure. I'll walk through the process and just say that in the workshops, what we do is we teach by practice. So it's really having some practice in a safe environment that then creates the equipped person to then go out and do that. But it starts with that curiosity. I think the antidote for the ego that you talked about, the unhealthy ego, is curiosity. And what we do is we talk about raising the curiosity level. And so you might start a conversation with, you know, I'm curious, you know, what do, you know, people in your neighborhood think about such and such, or what's going on with this topic, or even just more specific, I've been thinking a lot about immigration lately. I wonder, what do you think about immigration? And I'd love to have a conversation about that, right? So it's a very open invitation and filled with curiosity. And then it goes into listening, repeating back, repeating back, I heard you say such and such or this. And what I want is I want to get, nod of the head or some kind of affirmation that, yes, I heard mm-hmm. what you said. And then we teach a really powerful skill. It's like the blinker when you're about to change lanes. It's the pivot. And that is asking for permission then to change lanes or to state your point of view. It says, well, I've been thinking a lot about immigration. Or I've been reading some interesting things. Could I share with you what I've been learning about this? Now, if the person says no, well, then you know that you don't need to waste your breath. And mm-hmm. then, that's the end of the conversation. But often they say yes, and then we teach people how to then express their point of view in a way that it's most likely to be heard. And in our workshops, what we do, as I said, we practice each one of these things, and we usually wrap up every workshop with, let's talk about some of the corner cases, some of the difficult situations where you're in a conversation and it's pretty clear someone is just trying to throw grenades into the conversation and blow things up. And cause stress and problems. And
husband and wife in the room looking right, at each other like, oh. Yeah.
I wasn't referring to playing the devil's advocate. I meant something much worse than that. Yeah. And then we encourage people to go out and then practice. But that's also where we have alliances, and alliances are groups of folks that are committed to working on this that get together and talk about issues or read a book and do a book study or watch a movie and talk about the movie or how are things going in your world practicing these skills. Mm-hmm.
How often are you guys having workshops, and how are people getting involved? I know I want to touch on the Rotary guest coming up, but first let's start with how often you guys are doing this and how people get involved.
So they are happening all the time. They're online and in person. The way to find them is just go to braverangels.org, and there's a section of our website where you can see all of the workshops.
Okay.
Those are the ones that are being held where it's a workshop where a bunch of people come together and do it. But we also have self-paced e-courses. So we have an e-course, for example, on families and politics. You talked about folk getting together. We got Easter coming up. Maybe it'd be a good time to brush up on skills before you gather for the Easter holiday dinner. We've got one on social media, skills for social media. And again, that's online. And so there's a lot of tools that are online as well. One of the brand new ones that we just released is one on discussing the situation in Israel and Palestine. And we have, a structured conversation where we can match you up with someone that is coming at it from a different point of view. And you bring your curiosity, they bring their curiosity and their whole life story. And we'll help you walk through with a structured document. And you meet in person or online and learn more about each other.
It's fascinating.
It strikes me that there's two huge goals through the program is, one, increasing people's emotional intelligence, meaning to just be able to listen to somebody else's point of view without being completely overwhelmed by whatever you feel. And then two, it's communication skills. And it's so funny. I think of employment. I'm like, what are the two things that employers are dying for right now? Emotional intelligence and communication skills. And you go, all right. So are you seeing a lot of younger people that are in your course, or is it people of a certain age? Rotarians.
we see the whole range, and I've actually lately been very involved with a number of colleges and universities in Minnesota as we've launched this,
mm-hmm.
and it is so exciting because we've got the president, we've got the deans of the departments, we've got the political science folks, and we've got the student chair of the Republican Club. and the Democratic Club on campus, and they're all committed and thinking about how do they impact the education so that these folks are going to be bridge builders in a world where the bridges are being burned down. So it's really exciting to see people of all ages looking at this.
So we just recently had a guest on discussing the impacts of children going through preschool, right? And in her, the reason that I bring this up is because I saw a quote that she had shared with us just in kind of conjunction with her bio. And it says, "It's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men," by Frederick Douglass, quote by Frederick Douglass. And it just to your point about like getting into the college universities and having those conversations at that point, because that's when there's going to be, that's when the influence really starts to come into the bigger picture for these kiddos, right? And so if you can get in there and have the conversations and be able to constructively have the conversations on both ends, then it's probably setting a nice little foundation for them moving forward.
And to your point about the jobs, I mean, it makes people better prepared for life, for work, for marriages. Mm-hmm. I mean, we focus on political polarization, but these skills are transferable into pretty much every part of your life.
I look at that and I go, how is that not on somebody's resume? Like, you go through that and you go, conflict resolution, being able to – and you know, every employer is going to look at it and go, tell me about this. And then you can tell them about it. And they're going to be like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
Well, and also every school, a school that is going to highlight this and say, this is going to be a big part of who we how we're teaching folks, is going to make them a better choice, too.
Mm-hmm. And beyond the colleges, there are also in Utah, they've been doing a lot of work with what they're calling braver schools, where they're bringing it down to the high school level.
Oh, wow.
Getting rid of the red-blue stuff, but really focusing on those steps that Jeff had highlighted.
That's so good.
I think that touches on a good question is you know, what's the long-term goal for Braver Angels? Like, obviously we were like, hey, we want to be able to actually be able to speak about complicated issues and empower people through skills. But is there something that's more quantitative for our listeners to hear, like, what are the goals and objectives here?
It's really lower the temperature on the toxic polarization. It's going back to what I said before, where the level of polarization is such a big problem, it's keeping us from solving the other problems. Mm-hmm. And it has infused every part of our lives. And if you think about what it would take to then repair all of those families, school boards, neighborhoods, churches, maybe even Rotary clubs.
Yeah.
And so that's really the goal. The goal, it's a long-term healing goal by building capacity with more people that are ready, willing, and able to be depolarizers.
Sure.
That are going to push back against the polarizing forces that are at play.
Wow.
Speaking of Rotary, I know there's an event coming up, Minding the Gap, Constructive Conversations in a Polarized World. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about who's joining for that?
Be happy to.
Because I know you guys are having a presence there.
Yes, we are. Bill Doherty is returning to the community forum, the annual community forum that we've had going on since... Boy, back in the aughts. It's been
18th annual.
18th annual.
Only have the flyer in front of me.
I think 1 year got skipped there in with COVID, yeah. So it's been quite a while. And so he's the main speaker and would be talking basically Braver Angels. I mean, it's getting these ideas across to folks.
Very cool. That's coming up on Tuesday the 16th. At Fort Snelling. I'll put a link in the description for that as well. I want to make sure we...
And they can always either join us in person or they can join us online for that event. So
I'll put that in there.
Well, we've got a couple minutes left here. I mean, how do you guys want to leave this? Like, what you've got one thing, you've got a pretty captive audience. Give them something to go and think about. Silence.
Okay. jump in.
So, what I would say is first of all, I would invite some reflection, mm-hmm. and ask people to consider, where is it that you see the forces of polarization in your life, and what really speaks to you, and then commit to taking one step to be a force in the other direction. Mm-hmm. And the steps are, there's a million different steps that one could take. And what I would say is that the Braver Angels resources can help with people taking those steps. So it's really, where does your heart feel that pain? See the pain in the world, and what do you think you could do about it? That's your calling. And then with bravery, take a step into that. And look for partners that you can engage. You don't need to do this alone. Braver Angels is a partner with you. But there are a lot of people that see this need and would like to see a solution. Reflect, mm-hmm. take a step.
Ed, any parting thoughts?
Just one. Our club in Waseca had a delegation come in from Moldova through Open World and the U.S. State Department. They were there to learn about agricultural practices and such. And the delegation lead, a woman by the name of Lydia, said something which really, really touched me. She said, "Peace cannot be accomplished by force. It is only accomplished through mutual understanding," which is what we've been talking about.
That was a good way to end the show. It was an honor to have both of you guys on. Ed, again, having you on as a second guest, and then to meet you as well, Jeff.
Well, thanks for pulling me off the bench.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're welcome.
Well, I think you've been elevated. I mean, you did a wonderful job. Like, you guys keeping this guy in the wings in the minors. They don't want to pay you. That's what
it was. It was really wonderful. So thank you for taking time, carving out time to come on to the show. Again, it was an honor.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson. We'll be back.
Show off your Rotary Club spirit with Russell Hampton Company. They're the world's largest provider of licensed Rotary items. They make everything like hats, jackets, shirts, banners, and more. Russell Hampton Company is a fourth-generation family-owned and operated business founded in 1920 by a member of the first-ever Rotary Club in Chicago, Club Number 1. When you call Russell Hampton Company, you get more than just a company, you get a fellow Rotarian-owned business who's there to help. No matter if you're ordering for your entire club or just yourself, no order is too big or too small. Not sure what your club needs? Their team members can help and customize just about anything. They live by the Rotary 4-Way Test. They also give 10% of all purchases back to Rotary to support Rotary's global work. So remember, Russell Hampton Company is your one-stop shop for all things Rotary. Learn more at bestclubsupplies.com. That's bestclubsupplies.com. Russell Hampton Company, Rotarians serving Rotarians.
For decades, eradicating polio worldwide has been Rotary's cornerstone cause. We are incredibly close to ridding the globe of this virus, but we need everyone's help to get us to the goal. World Polio Day is October 24th. Please consider making a new donation to Polio Plus or increasing your already generous giving. Go to endpolio.org to be a part of this historical eradication of polio. You will help get vaccinations to the most remote parts of our world and help fulfill a promise we made to end polio now. Two drops and it stops.
Of the things we think, say, or do.
Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendship?
Join Rotary to serve your community and the world with honesty, fairness, and goodwill. Our 4-way test guides our actions every day. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? These values underpin our commitment to making a positive impact on the world. Learn more about your local Rotary Club and stop searching and start serving. And the song you're hearing now was performed by Rotary Club of Dar es Salaam Oyster Bay.
Will it be a good will and better friendship? Gear up for a day of community spirit. Edina Rides for Education invites you to roll into a fun day of biking on Saturday, May 4th, starting at Fred Richards Park. Organized by the Rotary Club of Edina Morningside, they're all about service above self, and they're calling on you to join the ride. Opt for a leisurely 5 or 10 mile route and explore the scenic, car-free bike paths Edina has to offer. And here's the best part. Your ride with Edina Ride supports local educational nonprofits like Edina Give and Go, funding grants for students in need at Edina Public Schools. These funds help students that would be unable to pay fees associated with arts, academics, and athletics. Be a partner in sustaining organizations like Edina Give and Go. Registration is easy at edinarides.com. Take advantage of early bird pricing, just $25 for adults and $15 for kids. So gear up and pedal for a purpose on Saturday, May 4th with Edina Rides for Education. More at edinarides.com. Hello and welcome back to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
Always nice to have those guys on. Braver Angels was a great episode. I can't quite remember when we had aired that, but it was, you know, at that time.
You mean the first one?
Yeah, the first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A while back. But yeah, they were great. You know, you can learned a lot about, you know, kind of how you can come together with the political divide.
Yeah.
But also, I thought there's a lot of good information on just how you communicate.
I just love how necessity is the mother of all innovation, right? Like, and you go, when did it start? Oh, 2016.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Action, reaction. It's very interesting. Like, as you know, we've become more polarized as a society that, you know, organizations like this are the counter and antidote to that mm-hmm. sort of thing. That's my favorite thing about life is physics.
In Rotary, you really don't see the political and polarization. I think it's a one really cool thing about Rotary is I don't know, and it's nothing I care to learn with our conversations and what we do in Rotary. But you still learn skills from something like mm-hmm. this, and they come and speak at Rotary clubs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just good conflict resolution, right? Like just being able to understand and reiterate somebody's argument is always a powerful tool.
Yeah, and it does, to your point, it does seem like what they were trying to emphasize is, yeah, the point of this is on the political front, right? And to just kind of neutralize that. But we have found also that this can just help in kind of your day-to-day problem solving amongst other individuals, whether that's at your, you know, the corporate level or it's, you know,
friends,
family, in your house.
We even talked briefly about how, you know, younger professionals could do this training mm-hmm. and it can be a line item on your resume. I'd be intrigued by that as a business owner going, tell me more about that. Oh, you can communicate well.
You can diffuse a situation. Escalate. Wonderful. Not a lot of people seem to have those skills.
So what we were going to hire you for was this entry-level position, but you know what? The CFO position just opened up and it's yours. But I mean, what's really fascinating is, as we sit here and joke about it, but you got to imagine that type of thing would happen mm-hmm. where they're like, wait a second, we've been wanting somebody younger in this role, but they haven't shown the characteristics for it. You literally have a training that like shows this, diffusing all of that. But so... Yeah.
And I gotta mention again, they have the Minding the Gap Constructive Conversations in a Polarized World. That's coming up on Tuesday the 16th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Fort Snelling near the airport. You can find out more at stpaulrotary.org/events forum. I'll also have that link in the bio.
And that's April 16th.
Yep.
Thank you for sharing that, Chad. Well, we certainly hope that you enjoyed this episode with Ed and Jeff, and we look forward to seeing you guys next week. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
As a reminder, it's time to stop searching
and start serving.
We'll see you next week.